Hello and welcome to Wham Bam Tram, Hong Kong's first urban transport show. Today we are talking walking and urban design. I'm James Ockenden, editor of Transit Jam. I'm with co-host Alok Jain and our special guests who've been responsible for literally reshaping the city under our feet. Let's welcome architect Oren Thatcher of OTC Associates and urban planner Alan Chiradia of HKU. First, let's go over to Martin Turner, chairman of the Hong Kong Cycling Alliance, for a quick look at the news. Now, some new research from Becky Liu at Hong Kong U. Well, we've got to get Becky on the show, and we were just talking about this with Paul Zimmerman and Jeff Bent of Kitac. Why can't ferries be economically sustainable? Why can't they make money? Professor Liu, who's head of geography at HKU, just put out a paper on this very topic. She concludes, how do we make ferries make money? Like this: integrating ferry services, pier infrastructure and promenade development in a policy package is critical to the long-term viability of ferry transport.
Well, I use the ferries a lot. I travel from North Point across to Kowloon with my bike all the time, and Becky's got it exactly right. It's obvious. You know, you get people, you get throughput, you make use of those wonderful resources, the piers that are so wasted at the moment, and there's no reason why the ferries couldn't be really a live and wonderful part of our transport system.
And I saw on Hong Kong Cycling Alliance Facebook page recently quite a long discussion about how to get from the ferry piers to the rest of the city by bicycle, and it seems there isn't an easy answer or an easy route.
That was the central ferry piers,
yes.
Wasn't it? That's right. Well, if you're heading west from the central ferry piers, yes, the roads for cars, Maxim, has taken over, and there's a simple subway which is legally blocked to cycling, which is a shame because that's the obvious route to get over to Kennedy Town.
Now, Alan, there's a new exciting venture in Hong Kong, which is the release of the 3D pedestrian data. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think Hong Kong is now ahead of any city, having a publicly accessible indoor as well elevated at ground, underground pedestrian network. So yeah, this is quite exciting because we have this point where you remember that if we don't measure it, we don't manage it, and not having a network map of the pedestrian network is the first step. And it's been integrated in an e-mobility app already.
So you guys have used that app, have you? Did you use that app on the way here?
Yeah. Well, after learning about it, I tried it on e-mobility. And again, I don't mean to rain on Alain's parade, but I tried two itineraries that I'm familiar with, and the results were, shall we say, suboptimal. Mm-hmm. So the question, I mean, given the complexity of the mobility network in Hong Kong, which, by the way, to begin with, shouldn't be that complex, but let's just say we accept it as it is, and it's just about navigating our way through it. My question is there going to be a mechanism for sourcing information from users? Meaning, I mean, famously, like traffic apps like Waze are all about.
The infrastructure already exists in a way. You may be aware about what is called OpenStreetMap. And I think they started an initiative about, having a pedestrian map for a different city. So the question that we're having is, what I understand is Landsy will maintain that because it's part of the remit of Landsy. These are all questions that are quite open and new, and I think they are worth discussing, and let's hear from the government and the different actors that are involved in a way.
And how about the privacy issues? We look at other cities. I was looking at Austin. They're using Bluetooth beacons to do a sort of crowdsourced, it's like as a mobile phone goes past, it's measured, and the system can measure its speed, but also track it so it knows the routes that people are taking as well. Do you think people would accept that in Hong Kong?
Yes, I think, if we look at a little bit of what was done in Hong Kong, there were some video camera transmitting all the data somewhere where you could kind of see. So it's slightly different than looking at the camera that kind of tracks the traffic. Traffic can be relatively anonymous in a way. Well, tracking people and transmitting video people, I don't think, people want to that. So really, that will be a question.
There are two things. Interestingly, you say, and this is the city where every lift that you see has a camera in it. So you're being watched all the time, literally. And yet we are so sensitive about having a recorded image being analyzed for that purpose. But having said that, in terms of data tracking, I think Hong Kong data through telecom companies is already available through some data processing vendors. So as aggregated travel pattern data is available, and that is also being done as far as I know at the moment. So we are
being tracked as without knowing it as we go on the bus anyway.
Well, if you have a phone in your hand, you're being tracked. You can't avoid it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that there is a matter, the lamppost cameras and so on, there's a big issue of optics here, no pun intended or maybe intended, but the optics are that it's well known what they can do. I think that maybe the concern in Hong Kong about privacy is that some people don't necessarily believe that they are anonymized, right? That the data is anonymized. It really is more about something else entirely, which is politics and the trust of people in what government does. And in that sense, it's unfortunate because the utility of it may suffer as a result.
Let's move on to design a bit, because what this 3D network has really shown us is how badly designed our streets are and how many footbridges and underpasses and difficulties there are for pedestrians.
Well, let me talk about mobility space design, because public space is slightly different. Public space is generally also mobility space, but let's talk about mobility space primarily. So yes, James, as you just said, in fact, the concern I have is that a great app or a great mapping system will encourage the continuation of what I consider to be bad design practices, which is design that ever since 1950s, probably, if not earlier, has always revolved around cars, and where pedestrians were residual and given residual space. And whenever there was a conflict, it was always a car that was given priority, and pedestrians had to find a way around it, whether, you know, going to the next intersection to find a crosswalk or a footbridge or a subway that might look direct, but actually we all know are very indirect. So my concern is that a great, beautifully designed app that's actually highly efficient will somehow make some people feel that, now our job is done and therefore we can continue doing this. In fact, we may accelerate it because we can say, you can no longer say that people are having difficulty moving around, but look at this beautiful app that tells them always how to get from point A to any point B. I think what's missing is also a higher level of sophistication and attention to what the ergonomics of walking entail and how you cater to the ergonomics and the needs and the physicality of human beings as they move around on foot. The guidelines or the existing practices of design as coded in the various manuals reflect, I guess, robust engineering principles. But those engineering principles are a very, very high level, extremely high level, and simplistic when it gets to the movement of people. So where you get elaborate formulas that sort of underpin traffic impact assessments, there's some sophisticated models. What happens if you lower the charges in the Western Tunnel on overall traffic all around Hong Kong? They're very sophisticated with these things. But the impact of putting a footbridge is extremely simplistic.
You're absolutely right, Oren. Actually, the transport planning and design manual, the pedestrian facilities, let's say at traffic junctions, they are governed by the cycle time for the traffic and how the traffic phases are designed. No zebra crossing in this town is designed for the volume of people who actually pass across them. So they are outdated, and there is probably a need for a holistic review of perhaps the transport planning and design manual, as well as the Hong Kong planning standards and guidelines.
No, I think I completely agree. I think this would be a great time to do that. I mean, there's been all those manuals were emerging at a time where all the new town were kind of like created. What is that, 50 years ago? We think about pedestrian like throughput instead of like thinking about, what is the experience of those pedestrians? What are...
Yeah, remarkably, and this is not just in Hong Kong. I mean, this is the sort of thing that in my practice we do. The industry concept of level of service that was was defined, as you guys know, by a scholar named John Fruin in 1971 in a seminal book that remarkably...
Called Pedestrians.
But remarkably, a bit like the TPDM, also hasn't been updated and is still... But, I mean, it's an important reference, but it's very limited in scope. It looks at the pedestrian problem as a level of service problem that's defined by the space that individuals have. But there are many other things that he never concerned himself with. For example, what is the impact, what is the level of service of having to walk up 20 steps? What is the implication of level of service of having to make a 100-meter detour?
But I'll turn that argument slightly differently, Oren. I mean, I always say this, that if you're traveling from Admiralty to, say, Wan Chai, nobody should be hopping on a public transport for that distance if the walkability was good. And I can tell you, by walking, you probably can beat MTR in that section. It's just that people still use MTR for that section is because doing that from, let's say, United Center to Wan Chai is an awful task. You know, you go around bends and up and down, and there are no direct crossings, and that makes it a very hard journey.
No, but that's exactly my point.
I want to come back on the Oren the remark about Hong Kong is a city where people walk the most. And that's a scientific study that shows that. So, I mean, it's an intriguing kind of
6,000 steps a day.
Yeah, 6,000 steps a day in average.
Per capita.
And then is the highest in the world. And it's, in a way, I'm going to kind of like do play the devil advocate. I'm going to say that bad design make people walk more. And that's why, I mean, people were walking so much in Hong Kong.
Fair enough.
But and let me finish. Yeah. That doesn't mean that people enjoy it.
Completely agree with that last point. I think joy is another important topic to talk about. But I would only say that that statistic about Hong Kong people walking the most, I would say it's because of public transportation, because whatever the percentage is, 90% or because public transportation always involves more walking. And I think the reason in other cities So the statistics are not contradictory. They're complementary, in an interesting way, they complement in a paradox way each other.
But I mean, we have to kind of come back to the quality.
What's affecting that quality? Because often what we hear is, oh, it's the weather in Hong Kong, it's not suitable for walking. But in my experience, it's not the weather, it's actually the built environment.
Well, I guess, I mean, we come back to the one point, who's in charge?
Yeah.
Who is in charge?
Yes.
Comes back to that in the end all the time, isn't it?
And I think you can see how MTR can be doing well because he's in charge of and they really responsible. And in a way, I mean, as soon as you go out, there's probably 20 departments that are in charge. And that's not Hong Kong only, it's probably everywhere in the world. But there's a difference, for example, Transport for London, they are one of the few authorities that have a very wide remit.
It's very interesting, Ellen. 20 years ago, when I was working for the railways, we did a study at that time, and we found that 97% of the people actually consider their access to the station as the sense of arrival, you know? So when you say, how far do you live from the station, they totally discount the amount of travel they do inside a station.
Yeah.
So it's always, as soon as you hit an entrance to the station, you don't count your steps anymore. People don't think they're walking anymore. And that's the joy part that you were probably...
No, but that's, you know, it's kind of, I would say, yeah, there is. It's really interesting that kind of blindness to the exertion. Part of the problem in Hong Kong, I have a picture that I use sometimes. You see an insanely crowded sidewalk in Causeway Bay, and you see there's a bus stop, and there is kind of part of the crowdedness of the pavement is the queue for the bus, and you can see there's a portal in the railing, and you know this is where the door will open, and people, and you just see that that's a bit like the entrance to the MTR. It's like the escape from the hell of the road is when you step on the bus. The respite offered by public transport, whether it's the entrance to an MTR station or when you step on a bus, is an escape from the hell of a street. And I think that's really an indictment of the way the streets in Hong Kong, I mean, some of them are objectively difficult to rectify just because of the space constraints, but the lack of attention.
Okay, guys, we are running out of time, so I'm going to have to thank you here, and perhaps we should step outside and try this HKE Mobility app.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to our guests. I hope you enjoyed that. Next week, we have a true unicorn in the studio. We'll be talking freight, logistics, and clean transport with GoGoX co-founder Reeve Kwan. But now, we've episode 6 of our critically acclaimed drama, Alphard Wars. This story is purely fictional. Certain long-standing institutions, agencies, and public offices are mentioned, but the characters involved are wholly imaginary. Any similarity with any characters living or dead is purely a coincidence.
Good morning, CSV Veda. Veda? Madam?
Oh, sorry, Frank. I didn't hear you.
Madam, we have reports the 689 gang are going to make a move today.
Let me ask you something, Frank. If you look at this data...
Data, madam?
Yes, data. I've pulled up all the transport complaints unit data for 2010 to 2019.
Nobody looks at that data, madam. That's harassified.
Harassified?
Well, classified by making it too hard to use, madam. You said let's put spaces in the numbers instead of commas so nobody will be able to analyze them in Excel properly.
Well, yes, that's exactly the problem. It's taken me all morning to get the data into any kind of shape.
I didn't know you knew so much about data, madam.
Oh, well, let's just say I once had a job as a data importer.
So much I don't know about you, madam, these days.
Right. Well, looking at the data, there's an inordinate amount of complaints about this location.
Where is it? A lay-by in Central?
Yes, it's where I understand there's a gentleman who runs a recycling truck.
Ah, shall we bust him, madam?
No, the point is, the skip is the bad actor here, blocks the recycling truck, and there's literally 2,345 complaints about it, and it's still there. What's that about?
Looks like it's just gang-related, madam. We flag those as nothing.
But it's not nothing. That skip does block the pavement every day.
Madam, there's 689s.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Frank, shut up about your protester friend for a minute, can you? Let's do something good for a change. Call a squad.
Okay, madam, it's your call.
I have something to do first. Let's raid at 6 a.m. tomorrow. That's peak cardboard time for the recycling truck.
Very well, madam.
I'm going swimming, and I'm not to be disturbed.
Well, hello, the woman who's stolen my body.
Well, if you are going to be like that...
No, sorry, it's a lot to take in.
Look, I know what you are going to say. We need to go back to our own bodies, blah, blah, blah. But no dice, I'm not going back. I like being fit.
Oh, well, so did I. I hope you're at least using the Peloton.
The what?
The bike, the exercise machine.
Oh, that stupid thing. No, they have those bikes in the sit hangout areas for free.
You're not using it, are you? Get on the thing, 20 minutes, morning and night.
Well, I'm not going back, and that's that. You've had your chance. All this wonderful body and power and a gun, and all you do is bully people.
That's not true.
Oh yeah? What about the harassifying? Huh? Oh yes, I'm learning all about UCSP Veda. The picture of that woman in your bedside drawer.
Woman? What woman? There's no woman in my bedside drawer.
Yes, there is a... It's signed. Some singer or floozy you flirted with once. While your husband's away working. Shame on you.
That's the chief executive. How do you not know what the CE looks like? Ugh, I'm loyal as well.
Huh, and I suppose the man in your wallet is the president of all China.
What? Don't you dare play with my...
Well, I'm sure you've gone through all my stuff too.
Oh, you mean like that old trolley with the woolen mittens zip-tied on the handle.
I hope you are looking after it.
Oh, well, I left it in Shenzhen. I mean, it's an old thing. Nobody's ever stealing anything. Like...
You left my trolley in Shenzhen? Did you lock it?
Well, no. I mean, there's no lock.
I have a system, the chains. Oh, yeah, we have to go there.
Why don't you go pick it up? You're a police officer now. You can figure it out, since you know everything now.
My daughter knitted me those mittens.
What happened to her?
I don't know. She lives in Vancouver now. Never hear from her.
Ha! Well, maybe I could give her a call from you. You know, no history might break the ice.
Tell her you are rewriting the will. That will get her attention.
Will? Are you going to leave the trolley to someone else?
Oh, very funny. I have means, you know. Quite a share portfolio, if you must know.
Oh, so why do you, you know?
I don't know. I just didn't want to end up like those Thai ties, dancing with the gigolos at the club, spreading diseases. I'd far rather be outside pushing my trolley around in the sunshine. And after a while, I lost track of the money and actually was poor and actually did need to do that for a living. But it's all there somewhere.
Well, how about we help each other out? I have a theory. It's about those trucks.
Okay, first, show me how to use this Alipay on the MTR.
Ah, now we're talking. Okay, so what you do is, you wait until you're about to go through the gates.
Can I get it ready beforehand?
No, it won't work.
Okay.
Then you swipe here, enter your password.
What's the password?
I heart arresting people. All one word. And then the QR code comes up, and then you show it to the gate scanner, face scan, fingerprint, and boom, you're in. Okay, to work. We need to find those trucks. They're the key.
Perhaps I should have told you one more thing. I think I might be getting you demoted.